The title of today's lesson is Grace, Moving from Condemnation unto Justification. In our study of grace, we're going to be covering many topics. These topics will include how grace is accessed, how we move from the law to grace, who the justifier of many is, how grace is applied, how our conscience has been perfected, how grace does not give us an occasion to sin, that if we do fall short, we can boldly come before the Lord and ask for forgiveness, and finally, what the grace of God teaches us. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8, "Wherefore he saith when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." Thank God for these wonderful gifts that were left for us. You may be wondering, what are some of these gifts that were left for us? The gift of eternal life, the gift of the Holy Ghost, the 9 gifts of the Holy Ghost, the gift of restoration of sonship, the gift of grace, the gift of righteousness, the gift of the 5-fold ministry, namely, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Praise God for these wonderful gifts. Let's begin our teaching on the gift of grace. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." The very first thing we should have learned is that grace is able to build us up, unlike guilt, which will tear you down. However, it also tells us that it will give us an inheritance to all them which are sanctified. So the first thing we better find out is, how does one become sanctified? In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 11, "For the body of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." Here we have learned that the blood of Jesus sanctifies us. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 15, "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost." So now we have learned how one becomes sanctified. We are sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ and the receiving of the Holy Ghost. This is very important. Recall Acts chapter 20, verse 32. "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." This means that the gift of grace, which is able to build you up, allows you to gain access to the inheritance, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ by the gift of the Holy Ghost, which we have found is needed to be sanctified. To be sanctified, one must be born again of water and of the Spirit, as Jesus has told us in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. If you have not been born again of water and of the Spirit, according to Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39, which reads, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call," which is the fulfillment of being born again of water and of the Spirit. Then you need to stop this lesson and listen to the Salvation Package 3-lesson series. To access this from one of our web pages, click on the animated presence. that is opening and closing in the bottom left-hand corner of the webpage. This will lead you to our Salvation Track page. Scroll down to the bottom of the track and click on the Salvation Package link, which will take you to the three-lesson series that will explain in full detail the plan of salvation. Be sure to download the files before listening to them. Continuing on, let's find out how those that are sanctified can access the grace of God. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 5, "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." In Romans chapter 5 verse 1, "Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So those who have the Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith, and therefore being justified by faith, have access by their faith into grace wherein we stand." Continuing on at verse 3, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, "What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We are a purchased possession, bought with the price of the blood of Jesus Christ." In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 12, "That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, and whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, until the praise of His glory. Praise God for leaving behind such wonderful gifts to us, His people." In John chapter 1 and verse 15, "John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." In Romans chapter 3 and verse 19, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Since we all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God, God sent Jesus Christ the righteous to be a reconciliation between God and man. Now by our obedience of faith and partaking of Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, we now have access by faith in his blood unto God's grace wherein we now stand. Being then justified freely by His grace, we have the hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. At this time, I would like to turn our focus on how we obtain the free gift of righteousness. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 2, "For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. So we obtain righteousness not by our works, but by obedience and by believing on God that justifies the ungodly. This person who has been obedient unto God and has believed on Jesus Christ, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, this person, God forgives their iniquities and does not impute sin to them, but instead as the justifier of many, he imputes righteousness unto you, remembering your sins no more. In Romans chapter 4, verse 13, For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Even though righteousness is not obtained by works, we have learned that it is obtained by obedience. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 16, Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. We also have learned that righteousness is obtained by believing on God that justifies the ungodly. Therefore, being justified by faith, it is highly important to realize that faith without works is dead. It is our obedience of faith that leads unto righteousness. In James chapter 2 and verse 20, But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works, when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Apostle James has given us clear instructions on how the scripture was fulfilled which said that Abraham believed God. Just as our father Abraham applied his faith with obedience in believing God concerning the promise he was given through his seed, we too must be obedient to believing on God that justifieth the ungodly, as the scripture has told us. Abraham showed his obedient faith by placing his only son Isaac on an altar to slay him as God commanded him. Whereas today, we are obedient to God, as Jesus Christ has told us to be born again of water and of the Spirit, which will then lead to a life of separation, perfecting holiness and the fear of God. This person's faith is counted for righteousness. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 10, For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who was the figure of him that was to come. But now is the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one the condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. O the manifold wisdom of God! O the depth of His riches! How unsearchable are His ways past finding out! In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Praise God, what precious promises we have in God. What precious gifts God has given unto us. Oh, how precious is the blood. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. And dropping down to verse 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. This process of justification, wherein God the justifier of many has given the free gift of grace that reigns through the free gift of righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord, has forever purged us from condemnation and guilt concerning our conscience, and has forever perfected the conscience of them that are sanctified, which are those who have been born again by partaking of the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection, and has set us free from the law of sin and death. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So we see that it is very important, once we come to the knowledge of the truth, to not purposefully and intentionally go on sinning, but instead we are to put our flesh to death concerning sin and obey righteousness unto life. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it and the lust thereof, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid! Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. So what happens if we do fall short and find that we have given in to sin? In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Listen to what we are told in the book of Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 16. For verily He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behoved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself hath suffered being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted. The word succor, S-U-C-C-O-U-R, means to help, relieve, aid, or assist. So He is able to assist them that are tempted. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So when you fall into temptation and sin, don't let the devil or yourself begin to condemn you or to begin to give you a guilt trip. Instead, apply the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Come boldly unto the throne of grace with full assurance, for He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Remember, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now that we fully understand the process of justification and how the free gifts of God has brought life unto us, let's continue with what the grace of God teaches us. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort, and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Those who truly are following the grace of God will deny themselves ungodliness and worldly lusts, and will live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. They will be watching for the blessed hope of Jesus Christ's return, and will become zealous of good works. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Also in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In closing, in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed they falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ.